are so kind. Love Brother Dinkins, don't you? He's such a sweet man. I tell you what, he's been up all night, all day, but he doesn't like missing church. That inspires me. You better be careful. God might inspire you. Yo, Lisa, it is so great to have you out. Hey, man, I really, really mean that. You are so precious to us. You and Charles are, to me, angelic. You just, I don't even know how to describe you guys. I wish I could put you in my pocket and carry you home. But they, you know, the Bible teaches against kidnapping. And, you know, but you tell Charles, take some humor back to Brother Charles. But amazing guys. We love them so much. And everybody, and Brian and Pam and, man, oh, man, I'm so excited about those guys, these guys. And we're going to probably work a little bit real soon, kind of balance out and sort of work with it. And, Brian, you're my point, man, sort of with us, with the security team. There's a whole lot, by the way, you guys. Oh, and it's good to see Fred and Cheryl over here, these good-looking people sitting over here just shining. Light of God in their face. I love you guys. And there's a... God's doing things, and he's helping us all. If he wasn't, we'd all be in a pickle, and he's helping us. Amen. William, good to see you. Mikey's just becoming a fixture on Wednesdays and Sundays. She's just growing and glowing, and everybody's really, really special to us, and good to have our friends back. Family and friends back, and I was so happy for Brother Chet. I mean, not only did he get refilled, he couldn't turn loose of it. Amen. You know, somebody, it's like grabbing a live wire. You know, somebody said if you be a live wire for Jesus, not too many people will step on you. Understand what I'm saying? Okay. Anyhow, so excited about that, and I think he's supposed to bring his wife this Sunday. So. Awesome. Yeah, come on now. Man, oh man, I like people to just come in and stare at. You know what you could just say? Just take a look at that wall on the left as you come in. You belong here. We believe that so strongly, we painted it on the wall. Amen. Oh, it's an awesome thing to turn our pulpit over to Brother Aaron. We love him dearly. We've seen him grow and grow and grow and grow. He's got such a beautiful heart. I love people with a beautiful heart. I don't know. Everybody inspires me. But Brother Aaron's been my backup now for about 2 or 3 weeks. I said, be ready. Things are just so many things happening. I might need to just plug you in. And I know Brother Sandy, he's probably got 3 sermons just jumping around him like crickets in a pan or something. Proud of what these guys just came through. There's his girlfriend back there of several years now. Amen. And she, I'll tell you what, they I don't know, you just all just really blessed me. I'm quickened by watching such awesome people respond to crazy stuff. You know? So, anyhow, I'd like to give you a breather from me, because I know I rip, snort, and duck, and stomp, and get my inspiration and my perspiration mixed up, and I like to bring some smooth guy. But listen, all teasing, that is true. I mean, even though that is a tease, it's a compliment. Because some people are John the Baptist-y, and that's probably me. And we need those guys, too. I think we need us. I hope we do. But we have people like Brother Aaron, who's his very heart is, his personality is that way. He's just a very, very sweet and personable young man. And I'm going to tell you one of the neatest things about Aaron that I love, and that is he is extremely coachable. And I say that to myself, I say it to you, I say it to all of us. Stay teachable. You will never backslide if you will stay teachable. Keep praying. It's hard to backslide when you're on your knees, okay? People that are on their knees don't fall over and break their leg. You ever notice that? People fall away from God. People don't fall away when they're on their knees. You might fall when you're up on your feet, but you don't fall when you're down on your knees. that lends stability to the spiritual life. But he's very, very coachable. He's up there on Father's Day, and he and Nevin and Brother Sandy are just absolutely have us in tears. Yeah. And then while they're doing that, especially the story about falling down those stairs, pulling down the shower curtain, and the rod, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That was, I don't think, I've never been in a funnier and fun, like saturation fun Father's Day service like that. But while they were doing that with us, they were dropping gems. And Aaron was dropping gems, and Brother Sandy and Nevin were dropping gems. And I just still think about it. What a blessed and precious day it was. We love you, Brother Aaron. Come on up and talk to us and minister to us. Let's give him a hand of welcome.
Love you dearly. I'd like to meet this smooth-talking gentleman that Pastor's been referring to. That dude sounds awesome, man. I aspire to be like him one day. All right. The Lord is good. He is good. And Pastor, it's always an honor. Thank you for trusting me and believing in me. Thank you for the mentorship. Thank you for the coaching. God is good. I know I never take that for granted. I know Jasmine never takes that for granted. We are beyond words appreciative of what you and Sister Meadows have been in our lives. So thank you for that, for all that you do for us and the example that you set for us. So I really believe that what we're going to talk about tonight is going to kind of take you behind the veil, if you will, and really bless you. It is very simple, but it's extremely profound, what we're going to talk about this evening. And God is so much in order. Every song we sung this evening, everything Pastor and Sister Meadows talked about, everything is directly in line with what I'm going to talk about tonight. And you'll see that as we talk. So that's the funny part of everything. He's a God of order. He's perfect in all of his ways. And it's just an honor to belong to him first and foremost. So if you would, stand to your feet for the reading of the word here. And we are going to go to Job. The man, the myth. Actually, he wasn't a myth. So the man. Sorry about that. He is the man. He actually existed, and stuff actually happened to him, as we're going to find out here. But Job 22:28, and this will be the starting point of what we talk about. Tonight's message is entitled, Thou Shalt Also Decree a Thing. Thou shalt also decree a thing. So, verse 28, and it says, Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways. So the quick backdrop on this is we all know, we're all pretty much familiar with the story of Job. Basically, God trusted him to go through a crazy, crazy trial. Probably none of us will probably go through the things that he went through. But if God trusted him to go through it and brought him through it, he can also trust you to go through whatever you're going through, and he will bring you through it. One of the things we always have to understand about a trial is designed to improve you. It is designed. There is purpose. There's intentionality behind that. So the backdrop of this is three of his friends continually came up to him and offered their advice. Air quotes for the listening audience, okay? They offered their advice. What's powerful about this, and I really feel like the Lord kind of showed me this as we were studying, is that the advice they were offering wasn't all necessarily bad, and wasn't all necessarily inaccurate. The problem was it was their opinion. Right. Yeah. They didn't have prophetic insight per se in what they were saying, but a lot of things that they were saying were true in the sense that they are established principles. So this particular passage that we just read, verse 28, was something that Eliphaz, one of his friends, had said to him, and it was really beautiful because this is a hidden gem nugget right here in the midst of him giving his opinion. He drops a huge nugget that God is trying to let us know about. Now, like I said, every song we sung in the worship time and everything that Pastor and Sister Meadows said is directly in line with what God is trying to do. There is a supernatural season, if you will, that God is trying to allow us to enter into because that is what is going to be needed for what is to come. You may be seated.
Thank you, Jesus.
So the question is, what is the key to accessing this supernatural? Because for God, it's not supernatural. It's natural for him.
Yes.
He walks in that realm. You know, we're confined by humanity, but he is confined by nothing. So the supernatural is a very natural thing to God. What we don't always realize is that God actually ordained us and created us to be able to walk in that same supernatural, but as Pastor said a little bit earlier, it's through his power. It's through his ability. And that's what gives him all the glory, is we are pretty much useless without his ability walking inside of us. And it gives him all the glory. It's the way it should be. Now, one of the keys to any relationship and anything that is in the earthly realm, any type of relationship, is this word called intimacy. And we talked a little bit about this on Sunday. It was a powerful experience for me personally because the Lord had dropped something in my spirit that I needed to do personally. And when Sister Meadows came up and gave that testimony, it was direct confirmation of what he had just told me a few minutes earlier. And this entire message that we're going to talk about tonight stems from what happened to me personally on Sunday and what Pastor felt in the Holy Ghost when he spoke to me about talking about these items. So God is very much in order. When we say he's in order and he's behind what he's doing and he's intentional about what he's doing, he very much wants you to hear this this evening. All right? So intimacy is the key to any relationship. Now, there's two components to intimacy that you have to understand. One of them is death to self. In order for there to be intimacy in any relationship, both parties have to have complete death to self. It's not 50-50, it's 100-100. 100% you, 100% the other person, 100% focused on the other person. Other person is also 100% focused on the other person. And then you have true intimacy. When there is intimacy in any relationship, it leads to trust. See, when someone's willing to basically give their life for you and put your needs above their own needs, you can trust them. There's no ulterior motive. See, whenever there's an ulterior motive, it's always based around selfishness. If you do something with a motive that's not as pure as it could be, it's because you're trying to gain something for yourself. So the opposite of that is when you're doing something completely based on the other party, then there's no reason for the other party not to trust you. And then you, in turn, return the favor back to the other party. So it goes back and forth. You have this 100% commitment on both sides. And that leads to intimacy. And then the intimacy from two parties leads to trust. Now, trust requires letting something or someone else have control. You won't let somebody else have control in your life if you don't trust them. You won't let the chair you're sitting on be the chair you're sitting on if you didn't trust that it was going to hold you up. See, it's so subconscious, right? None of you are thinking about, oh, I guess, are these screws in the chair? Are they tight? Did Pastor make sure that these are standard met before we sat down? Nobody's thinking about that right now. There's not a thought in your mind about what is holding up that seat. You've put all your trust into that seat because why? How do we know you trust it? Because you're sitting in it. Right. If you didn't trust it, you wouldn't sit in it.
Right.
Now, when you have this trust between two parties, things can happen that are beautiful. That's exactly what the Lord is looking for. Now, here's the part that we don't tap into yet. Has the Lord given us every reason to trust him? Yes or no? Has he ever given us a reason to doubt him? Yes or no? No. So why don't we trust God all the way?
You're right.
If he's never given us a reason to doubt him, he gave his own life for us. There's that intimacy thing.
Right.
He did it for us. He didn't do what he could have done as God. As we know through Philippians, he actually put his godlike abilities on the shelf so that he could walk in full humanity and show us how much he loved us, right? So if there's no reason not to trust God, then why don't we trust him? It's because we don't understand how much that intimacy means to us and how much, in turn, it also means to God. Now, hop with me real quick to John chapter 15, verse 7. And here is what intimacy will do for you. It says, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. So there it is. The Lord just told you, if you abide in me, and that word abide means to live in, and my words abide in you, there's that intimacy thing, right? There's that correlation. You can ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. In other words, because we have this trusting relationship with one another, because I have no reason to doubt you, you have no reason to doubt me, and I'm God, and I can make anything happen, all you got to do is ask me because I trust you, and I know you trust me, and we have this intimate relationship. I know that I can bless you because I can trust you. Listen to this statement. You have the right to ask for anything because of your relationship with God. He just told you you could. He just told you you could. Then why don't we do that? Why is it that we let our circumstances dictate to us what should be happening instead of us dictating to the circumstances? Especially with what we're getting ready to read here in a little bit. See, there's something going on in your life that's hindering you from further intimacy with God and hindering you from seeing more of God manifested in your life. And all it has to do with us is just fully letting go and trusting that it's all going to work out the way it's supposed to. But see, when we talk about decreeing a thing, the Lord just told us, number one, that we can ask anything that needs to be done because of our intimate relationship with Him. And then, real quickly, if you hop over to Matthew chapter 9, and we're going to read verses 1 through 8 really quick here. This is the next part of the component of this intimacy and what happens as a result of that relationship with the Lord. It says, "And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee." And there's a message in and of itself right there. "And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts?" Okay, here's the root of why we chose this passage. "For whether is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on the earth to forgive sins." And I'm going to skip down real quick. It says, "Arise, take up thy bed, and go into thine house." And he arose and departed to his house. Verse 8, and here's the key phrase right here. "But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men." What power did he give unto men? To do the exact same thing that you just saw him do. He spoke. He spoke to the sick. They got healed. When you decree a thing, there's two components that allow you to decree something into the earth. Number one is your relationship with God. Number two is what we just saw, which is the power that resides in you from the Holy Ghost. Now, that Greek word for power is the Greek word exousia, which means delegated authority. So what you have, if you've been born again, if you are called by His name, if you're in an intimate relationship with the Lord, is you have power, delegated authority. You have the right to speak to something, and it has to respond to the Holy Ghost. It has to. There's no debate on this. It's not you saying it. You're just decreeing what the Lord has established. So one of the things that holds us back from doing this is, number one, we don't understand that because of our relationship, we can. And then also because of our relationship, we have the delegated authority and power to do so. So we have to learn to start taking advantage of this. Like I said, it was just beautiful that everything that's been said this evening is in line with what we're talking about tonight. Everything is. In order for supernatural things to happen, we need to work with our supernatural God in the way that He is established to. And you have the right to do so. Why? Because He said you could. You have a relationship with Him, and He gave you the delegated authority to do so. Now, go to Luke chapter 17, verse 6. And we're going to see it in action now. Two different places. So Luke 17, 6. And here's what it says. My markers are failing me right now for some reason. Forgive me. All right, Luke 17, 6. "And the Lord said, If ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamine tree, Be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you." It's an expectation. If you speak to this thing, it should obey you. Why? Because you belong to Jesus and you have delegated authority to do so. It has to respond. It has to respond. There is no choice on this. It doesn't matter how long it takes to respond. And this is usually where we lose it, as we get caught up in the manifestation of something. God's not concerned about the how. Or excuse me, we shouldn't be concerned about the how. That's his concern.
Yes, sir.
We just need to know that it is, that it's supposed to be. God will take care of the how. See, a lot of times God gets glorified in the how, because it says his ways are not our ways and his thoughts are not our thoughts. You read that next verse in Isaiah, and it says, as far as the heaven is from the earth, so are his ways above ours. So when God is trying to do something and it takes a while in our mind to manifest, it's because he's doing something and he's getting greater glory out of it. The problem is we get lost in the translation, and sometimes we either completely delay it longer than what it should be, or we don't see it at all because we stop doing our part of walking in faith. And as we know through Scripture, he can only work where faith is. As it just said here, if you had the faith as a grain of mustard seed. Now, if you've ever seen a mustard seed is about this big. That really isn't a lot of faith that he's asking out of us, right? It's only a little bit. And he's saying, if you have this much faith, this is what you can do. If you just trust me a little bit, this is what you can do, right? Matthew 17:20, real quick. We're going to see the exact same principle in action again. All right. 17:20 says, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. Whoa. Let me say that again. Because of your unbelief. This is why it didn't work. Because of your, not because God couldn't do it, not because he didn't want to do it, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Now, what does the word nothing mean? Anybody know? One of those like, well, yeah, we know what it means, right? Why are you asking us what nothing means? Have you ever slowed down and said the word in two syllables? No thing.
No thing.
Let's read that again. And it shall remove, and no thing shall be impossible unto you. Well, I don't know if I can get up and speak in front of people. Speak to it. The Lord said to decree a thing. You don't have a spirit of fear. You have a power. You have a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Speak to it. I can do all things through Christ. Start speaking to yourself in the situation. Why? Because no thing shall be impossible unto you, because you belong to Jesus and you have the delegated authority to do so. We are holding so much back that the Lord wants to do. And as I thought through this, I'm thinking about how much further I wish I could be along if I had just followed some things that God was showing me probably like 10 years ago that I haven't been consistent in. I want to see so much more of God. I want to see him move like he did in the book of Acts. Like, I want to see him move like he did in Azusa Street, where they were doing three services a day and people that were crippled were coming in and leaving their wheelchairs and whatever items there. This was routine in early 1900s when the Azusa Street movement took place. Why don't we see that now? Isn't he the same yesterday, today, and forever? Last time we checked? So much more that God wants to do, and we are holding him back because of our unbelief. Because if you really believe something, you would do it with all your heart. You really would. If you didn't doubt, then you'd do it. You ever hear that statement, what would you do if you didn't doubt that it could happen? Think about it for a minute. What would you attempt to do if you had no doubt that you could get it done? Think about how much more we'd get accomplished. And that's where God is taking us right now. Do you understand that the kingdom of darkness is throwing a kitchen sink at us right now with everything possible that they can throw at us? It's going to take people that walk in a supernatural realm for the world to understand that he is who he says he is. It's going to take that right now. Every ounce of it. And don't you just want to see God move more? Why can't more people come in here and get the Holy Ghost every single Sunday? Why can't more people come in here and get baptized in the name of Jesus every single Sunday? Why don't we start decreeing a thing? Why don't we start speaking to that on a daily basis? Why don't we start speaking to that on a weekly basis? There's no reason that we shouldn't see. And I'm talking to myself. Part of me wants to stand up here and cry because I think about, gosh, Lord, I've let you down so much. You've revealed things to me and I haven't walked in them. I've let you down. I don't want to let him down anymore. You got to get sick and tired of being sick and tired. You got to get out of the routine to where it's just business as usual on Wednesday night. It's just business as usual on Sunday. Well, we get up and go to church. We get dressed. We hear a good message. We go out to eat. We don't go impact people during the week. Oh, we're going to get up and go do this again. Ah, okay. Did I bring anybody else to church this week? Oh, well, who cares? God still loves me, right? His mercy's renewed every day. It's all good. I'm talking to me. I don't know what I'm thinking about. How many people have I brought to church recently? How many Bible studies am I in right now that I should be in? How many people am I not talking to about the truths of the kingdom that God so graciously revealed to us 7 years ago in a Bible study? He didn't do it for nothing, right? And so we have to challenge ourselves. We've got to say, if we want God to move and if we really want him to move, then we need to do what we need to do. We need to have the understanding that we have the right to do it, and we also have the authority to do it. So you need to think about what mountains, what sycamine trees are in your life right now. Is it finances? Speak to it. Is it health? Speak to it. Is it a new job? Speak to it. Is it improved relationships? Speak to it. Is it anxiety? Speak to it. I'm afraid to tell people about Jesus. Speak to it. No, you're not. You have no fear because it's not of God. Speak to it. Decree a thing and it shall be established. Speak to your mountains. Speak to it, whatever it is. How did God create the universe? He spoke to it. It's in the scripture, right? Last time I checked. Still there. We're going to wrap up real quick. Go to Proverbs 18:21. Yes. Praise the Lord. God is good, isn't he? So verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Let's stop right there for a minute. That word power in the Hebrew means hand. Means hand. Now, if you think about it, if you were chopping down a tree, you had the axe, but what makes that axe move into the tree? Your hands and your arms, right? So that axe, is it any good if your hands and your arms don't move it? If this axe is sitting here and there's this big, let's use sycamine tree. How fitting, right? If there's a sycamine tree right here and we have an axe right here, how will the axe chop down the tree? If I don't pick it up with my hands and I swing it and use it, then it does me no good to get this tree chopped down. So if death and life are in the power of or the hand of the tongue, then that means you need to speak in order to get the axe to move. If you speak to it, it has to move. We just read that. Speak to it. That's how it happens. That's the doorway. That's the answer. Simple, but profound. Speak to it. Now, watch this. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. You got to fall in love with speaking the stuff, right? You got to say, oh, praise God. This is this new toy I get to play with. I'm going to start speaking to this right now. Oh, we got an issue at work. Speak to it. We got an issue with one of our family members. Speak to it. That's the hand. That's how it happens. The Lord just spelled it out through Scripture. This is exactly how it works. Simple, yet profound. Speak to it. If you remember nothing else I just said this evening, go home and say, speak to it. And then actually do it. See what happens, right? God is so good. He breaks things down. He makes it simple. He's not complex. He's not the author of confusion. All we have to do is get over ourselves and trust what he said in his word. And I'm telling you right now, I'm going through this as we speak. When we talk about what happened to me personally on Sunday, there's a financial situation that I was thinking of. And I was literally like, all right, Lord, it is what it is. What do I need? And this is another thing. This is really cool because pastors talked about this too. Sometimes if something comes to you, the Lord will allow it to come to you or bring it to you. And you may miss it the first time. He'll bring it back. Give you another shot at it. You may miss it again. He may bring it back a third time. But he does expect some fruit. He does expect a return on his investment. So if you see cycles happening in your life, catch on to it. All right, Lord, what is it that if I missed it the first time, because it felt like we were here, you know, a couple months ago, a year ago, whatever, in your life, whatever you're thinking of, what did I miss last time? What do you need me to get this time, Lord? Okay, I got it. Okay, if it comes again, all right, Lord, maybe there's something else you want to show me. Maybe I didn't get it. When you see these cycles in your life, you have to pause and you have to ask the Lord why. What is it that, not why is it happening, but what is it that you want me to get out of this? All right, so in this particular situation, like I said, the Lord has spoken something to me in prayer about 10 years ago. It actually woke me up about 3 o'clock in the morning. And this word that he gave me was very profound, and it's probably taken me years to really get the grasp of it. And what he said was, if it hasn't happened yet, it's because you have not decided it to happen. In other words, it's your fault, not mine. You're waiting on me, I'm waiting on you. It is what it is. That was 10 years ago. 10. And I'm still, and here's this cycle coming back again. Here's another opportunity for you to decide something to happen. And what he's just showing us is, yes, you have the right because you belong to me. And I've given you the power and the delegated authority to do so. And here's the means by which you can make that happen by opening up your mouth and speaking to it. And then one of the unique things about the Lord, and I really feel like I've been discovering this lately, there's something about the speed of confirmation. When the Lord gives you something, and he really wants you to have it, and you're right on, or it's in his perfect will, there will be a very, very quick confirmation that comes from somewhere. You're not even necessarily asking for confirmation, but a lot of times you'll get this quick confirmation. And that's what, when Sister, I'm telling you, that was like 30 seconds after what the Lord told me to do, and she comes up here and says, yeah, this is exactly what Pastor and I did. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. There's something about that speed of confirmation that really just speaks to the Lord. Is like, look, I'm going to make sure you don't miss this. Okay? So get this in your spirit. You've come in one way. Let's go out another way. You've come in thinking, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? We've got all this. We've got this mountain. You're going to leave saying, I'm going to go out and speak to that mountain. And you're going to decree a thing and it shall be established in the name of Jesus. Be blessed. Hopefully that was a blessing to you. That's all I've got for you, Pastor.
Now, one of the reasons why we felt like God would bless this direction that Aaron went tonight. On Sunday, he felt quickened to give us something, and it was about faith. Well, when he was speaking, I was like quickened. Pay attention to what quickens you. You have the Holy Ghost. He's not sleeping inside of you, I promise you. God neither slumbers nor sleeps. So listen to things that rouse. You know, when the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor December 7th, 1941, and wasn't it Tojo, the famous, was it the Admiral Japanese, that said, I am afraid that we have awakened a sleeping giant. And that's exactly what they did. Well, there's a sleeping, well, he's not sleeping though. See, but you might put him to sleep because you live such a boring life. I've never said that in my life. Pray for me. Have mercy, Lord. I would not normally talk like that. But you know, a lot of Christians, The last thing that I want to be is boring. I've been known to do all kinds of things to keep from being boring. You shouldn't be boring. I mean, the one who plugs in the stars lives in you. The one who brings the leaves the porch light called the moon out at night, he lives in us. The one who put the chandelier called the sun out in the center of the sky, he lives in you. You're telling me that that's all he does when he lives in you is nothing, as they say in Alabama? Nothing? No, he's active. He's wanting to break out through us. I'm having experiences every day. I can't even tell you all of them. Listen, I was in a Cracker Barrel. I love Cracker Barrel. Okay, no, I love Jesus. I really like Cracker Barrel. Old Andrew Bar David Urshan used to say that, you know, you love Jesus, you like Cracker Barrel, but you love Jesus. He used to help people with that, you know, to get it right. And that comes down to me. Thank you. But I got to, have you ever, Brother Thad, you have this funny, I don't know if you've ever seen Brother Thad's funny side. He's got, of course, talent coming out of his pores. But he's also got this funny side. And when he gets tickled, I love to see him get tickled. Because there's a hidden comedian in there. And there's one in here, only this guy, it's not hidden much. And he's jumping out all the time. And I don't know what it was I said. I think I went into my little list of jokes about genetic, you know, the scientists that cross different. And I got this long list of things. It's all hilarious. You know, they crossed a cow with a porcupine. They got a steak with a free toothpick. I mean, I got a whole list of this crazy stuff. He got to laughing so hard, he went down on the floor. This is behind the counter at Cracker Barrel. I can't even remember all that I said. I just know I was in one of them comedian-like, you know, comedian-esque moods. And he's begging for mercy. And I thought, wow, are we having fun? The waitresses were laughing. He was down on the floor. He could not stand still. So I'm going out the door. We get in the car. And he comes in, taps on our window. And we put the window down. He goes, sir, please come back here. Please come back again. Please, please. You know what? You know, I didn't go in there to entertain nobody. But there's joy that percolates up in my heart. And when it does, I share it with people. And I think funny things. People are so stressed out. If you bring them joy, you are a humdinger to them. If you bring them laughter and fun, oh, would you please come back 6 times tomorrow? People are so, has anybody been stressed out lately? This is the culture we're living in. He wants to flow through us, break out. He wants his joy operating in us. You're going to stand out. You couldn't help but stand out. If you've got joy and you disperse it, if you have the audacity to disperse it, in other words, give it away. You are... you're a gold medalist in the category of emotion. When you disperse, when you carry, you see, we're carriers. Yeah. Somebody was talking to Vince Lombardi, the famous Green Bay Packer coach, and wanted to know if he had ulcers. No, but he was a carrier. He gave them away. He gave the players ulcers, and that's why they won the first 2 Super Bowls. Am I doing pretty good to sports history? So... He said, fatigue makes cowards of us all. That's Vince Lombardi. Fatigue, Brother Dinkins, makes, you know, here's a man that he would like, I've said to my wife at times, I'd like to go to bed and sleep 3 or 4 hours. I need to just go to bed and sleep 4. Because I wake up too early, I've got to get out on the prayer road to get saved. Saved her and saved her. And then, you know, like Brother Dinkins, who's, you haven't had 5 minutes of sleep, have you, since yesterday, about 24 hours ago. But he refuses to miss church.
Amen.
Talk about encouragement. Would you stand up? Praise the Lord, Brother Dinkins. You inspire me. You inspire me. Oh, praise God. You inspire us. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Speak. Just say a word. Just like Brother Aaron talks. Speak a word.
I can say a lot. We don't have all night, though. I just want to speak to the job situation and ask God just to take care of it, confirm it, so that we just can move forward with it.
Okay. In Jesus' name. Okay. That right there. Okay, so I'm going to challenge us to be ready to do this. Let's step in to what this amazing man just taught us. Okay? You ready? By the way, she was telling the list of when our Suburban had that major problem with the engine. I'm trying to think of the terminology they used, the collapse of the interior cylinder. And, of course, the cylinder can't really collapse, but, I mean, the piston gave way, and there was all this mess, and they had to get in there and redo the whole thing. And that day, $500 was worth about $5,000 today. And we're walking around in the church every day. Thank you, Lord, for 500 plus. Thank you. Well, not only did he give us the largest offering we'd ever received, but he put a spirit of giving on people toward us. They brought me socks. What? That's, Brother Welch, you know how personal your socks are? You know, it's like, dude, what? Socks are always good. Thank you, Esther. That's right. And I'll have a pair on. I'll look down. You know, it'll be my weigh-in day, right? I look down. I got a big old hole. I mean, it's just like, I want to be holy, but not that kind. But listen, she forgot one. That's why I brought this up. She said that somebody brought their piggy bank. That's true. Somebody gave me a brand new briefcase. I almost spoke up and said, by the way, the briefcase. Remember the briefcase? Leather briefcase. Somebody gave me a brand new leather that week when we believed God and started speaking every day, talking faith. Because we knew we were in a jam. You talk about jams. Give me the bread because we could spread it thick. It was crazy. We didn't have money to repair that Suburban. Beside that, all our bills didn't go away. And we're living by faith. And he came through and it lasted for weeks. The blessing, Tiffany, that came down lasted for weeks. And it spilled over into areas that we didn't even ask it to. But we were doing what this man just preached to us about. Talking it, speaking it, leaning into God. He not only did what we were worried about, but he let it spill over into briefcases and spill over into piggy banks and spill over into socks. You are living for the same God. He doesn't love me more than he loves you. You'll have to show that to me in the Bible because I have trouble finding it. You know, I believe he loves you just as much as anybody else. He loves us. He wants to bless us, but it won't happen if we don't pick the axe up, if we don't pick the sword up. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow of the bone, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. King James, Hebrews 4:12. Okay, let's wield the sword now. You ready? You got something that's wrestling with you and you're wrestling with it. Let's speak to it. Could be anything. Don't be afraid. Don't be embarrassed. Matter of fact, brother, that could we get maybe just a little cover music. Praise God. You know, why do we play beautiful loud music at altar calls? So people, if they need to repent loudly, they can come down and say whatever they need to say, and most folks won't even hear it. Praise God. We got cover music. You didn't know that. Okay, that's a secret. Okay. So if it's finances, let's step into this right now. Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy way. All right? Thou shalt decree a thing. We literally every day, my wife and I walked in Brother Caskey's church. It's Brother Emmett Caskey, Emmett A. Caskey, if you want to know where it was. That was the pastor who was the home missions director for 25, 30 years in Wisconsin. Sister Angela, have you ever met Brother Caskey? Can you tell that's a German name? Caskey. Emmett Caskey. K-A-S-K-E. It happened. Yes, they're sweet, precious, spiritual people. Actually, God's really used them through the years. And the check was so large, I took a picture of it. Largest offering. And the next week, the second largest offering we'd ever received in our history of our ministry. We were actively speaking. We were actively using our faith. If ye abide in me, he says, Vicki, if ye abide in me, there's that intimacy. If ye abide in me. The thing I love about Sister Vicki, I mean, she is the same today. Tomorrow, you see her, she, you know, some people have a different rendition of themselves every time you see them. You're not sure which one you're meeting. Do you know what a schizophrenic's favorite color is? Plaid. Plaid, folks. Plaid. Okay, I'm not talking to you. There's no schizo here, but I'm just saying sometimes people out in the world, they have so many different renditions of themselves. Every time you meet them, you're not sure which one of them you're meeting. Let's love God and use our faith. Let's take a few moments here right now. In Jesus' name, Brother Welch, as we soften the lights just a little bit, give us a chance in Jesus' name. Wednesdays are busy, and God is refreshing us, and he's going to help us. But if you want to speak boldly into something, I want you to stand. That standing is like the first signatory, you know, the first signature that you're about to launch some words out of your mouth, and you're going to speak them in faith. Lord, for that troublesome situation that I've got to step into tomorrow, I say that the faith of God will operate in me and the wisdom of God will operate in us. Just examples. I say, Brother Fred, God wants to heal you from your head to your feet, speaking, using faith in his word. Do you have a promise? Fred does. He's got some promises. I'll give you one. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, Brother Fred, and with his stripes, Isaiah 53:5, with his stripes. Speak to those legs. Speak to those lungs. Speak to those grandchildren in the spirit, in prayer. Speak to them. You want to see them come back to God? Speak to them. Speak to them in the spirit. Speak to them in prayer. Speak to them. There's going to be a call come out to them. There's going to be a dream that God may give them a wake up in the night in a cold sweat and realize the Spirit of God has been dealing with them. As Brother Thad sings, oh, praise God, speak. I challenge us to step into the lesson. Step into the Word. Step into the Word. There's an overflow as we use our faith. There is an overflow. Thank you, God. Thank you for helping us. There's going to be supernatural strength that's going to come into your body. There is going to be supernatural.